birth of Jesus Christ. They seem excited. For as they were, you know, telling about the announcement, they broke out in praise. Glory to God in the highest, and with the angel a multitude of heavenly angels. A host just breaking forth in praise. It was a glorious scene. Out in the fields, over the shepherds at night. The light, the countenance, the whole message, this whole supernatural revelation. Awesome. Breaking out in praise. They were excited because from their perspective, you know, they had a different vantage point. Remember Gabriel when he came before Mary, Zacharias, he says, you know, I'm the angel Gabriel who stands before the presence of God. They came from heaven. They're in the spiritual realm. God opened up a clip from the spiritual realm for the angels to make an announcement, a glorious, marvelous announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ. So from their perspective, they know what's going on. God becoming man. It's not just, you know, God interacting in the affairs of man. God becoming man. So why they were so excited? Breaking out in praise. Look at verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God the Son, becoming a babe, becoming a man. But the announcement from heaven, the joy giver, the joy coming from heaven, is about a person who will be born, the message of the person born. He said, a Savior was Christ the Lord. Savior is a suitor. It really means deliverer. Why they were so excited and why this is such big news, the word actually means deliverer. For one is born to you today who's going to deliver you from sin. This is good news. And it's marvelous and wonderful for the angels in their perspective. They've seen all humanity fallen, nature, the world turned upside down. God's ideal as he created it, man disobeying God. And the result, and now a Savior entering the human race and mankind. Oh, a Savior is born to you this day. A suitor, a deliverer who will deliver you from sin, from the curse that comes from sin, from death, the result and the end of sin. Who is Christ? Christos in the Greek. Now, we get our English word anointed from this Greek word, Christos. But the Hebrew equivalent of the Christ or Christos is Messiah. And it means the anointed one. The Bible tells us about Aaron, the priest. Remember the high priest, how he was anointed, how the Bible tells it, you know, explains how the oil was just poured over his head and just dripped down his beard and all over his body, just completely saturated in oil. And here, Christ, the Savior born to you today, the Christ, the anointed high priest forever. We were reading in Hebrews on Monday night that he's our high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, forever. A high priest in his role is one who mediates before a holy God on our behalf. This is good news. One who's born into humankind, becoming a man, who will intercede on our behalf. Not only save us from our sin and the result of our sin, but intercede before a holy God to reconcile us back to God. Our high priest, who is Lord, Kurios. This word actually means master or supreme in authority. The same word Paul uses in Philippians when he makes us the declaration that every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Kurios, Lord. So the announcement, I bring to you good tidings, good news. The announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ is because of who he is. It's the person that is the good news. He's the Savior. He's Christ. He's the Lord. Then he, the angel, tells the shepherds, you know, that kind of, you know, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is a message that kind of spoke to me. It's like the Restoration of Joy Project. And we restore our cars, we restore our houses. But what about our spiritual life? Our joy in Him. I bring you good tidings of great joy to restore our joy. But he capsulizes, hey, the great joy in the announcement. It's all not only from heaven, it's not only about Jesus, it's about a person, but it's capsulized in the person. He said, I'll give you this sign. There's a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. It's all our joy and the restoration of our joy and the restoration of our Christian life joy is all capsulized in the person of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in verse 12, it says, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. You know, the good news and the announcement not only comes from heaven, but what brings to us great joy in life. It isn't, you know, they, you know, why the shepherds in return, you know, got turned on wasn't because of the angels appearing to them. The source of the great joy, it's not, you know, the experiences we have, like the tingles, the holy goosebumps, you know, you hear it often, oh man, from the top of my head to the, you know, soles of my feet. It's not about that type of experience, the goosebumps, the feelings, the warm fuzzies. It's about a person. You'll find him. This sign, it's the person of Jesus Christ that brings us joy. It's not the experience that we conjure up. But you'll find a person. This babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The joy giver. The joy liver. You know, what do I look like? Job liver? No, we're to be joy livers. Not chop liver. We're to live in His joy. That's what the Bible tells us is afforded to us. He extends to us. It's our privilege. It's our right. Joy liver, in verse 11, it's interesting how this announcement came to the shepherds. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, is Christ the Lord. To you, the announcement has come from heaven. To the shepherds first. And when you think of shepherds, they were kind of unscrupulous. You know, I heard some sermons and read about when you think of a shepherd back then, you put your hand on your wallet. You make sure your cell phone is, you know, secure in the upright position and stowed away. They were shady characters, but the message came to them first. It's so loving and graceful of God to bring the message through the shepherds, to the shepherds. But if you notice in verse 14, as he makes the announcement, it's goodwill toward men, to the shepherds, to you, toward men. Verse 10, to all people. The good news, the great joy, comes to all people. I like Simeon's when he prophesies. You know, he won't die until he sees the consolation of Israel or the Messiah or the Christ. And he sees him. Mary and Joseph bring him in to, you know, for the bar mitzvah and to become circumcised there. And then he sees the child and holds him up. And after the circumcision, this is the bar mitzvah, holds him up and says, you know, he prophesies. Look in verse 32. And he prophesies over Jesus and he said, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. It's interesting. Here's a Jew serving in the temple, prophesying over Jesus, and he says, a light to the Gentiles. A light to bring revelation to us, the Gentile people, the Gentile world. I like this. This is good news. This is exciting for us, Gentiles. A light to bring a revelation of the Savior, a revelation of the truth. From heaven, for us, joy giver, joy liver. Now, what if we lost our joy? Many of us have, we don't live in the privileged state that he paid for us to live in. But look in verse 43. Kind of interesting. When they had finished the days, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they returned. The boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. They lost Jesus. They lost the Messiah. Now this is interesting because, you know, they misplaced their Messiah who was, you know, entrusted to them. And through all the holy incarnation and virgin birth and pregnancy and angels, you know, announcements, and yet they misplaced Jesus. Now, you look at this and you think, you know, how easy it is, you know, for us to misplace the presence of Jesus. And the reality of how we lose our joy, we lose his presence. Where did we leave him? First of all, it says that they supposed that he was among the company. So often we think he's with us. You know, that everything's hunky-dory, everything's going along, but yet in truth, he wasn't there. And they had a mistaken, false assumption. But they lost Jesus. And, you know, we can lose his presence. They thought that he was among the company. They thought that he was, among the relatives, the Bible tells us. And it's possible for us to lose our joy, the joy of the Christian life. But where do I find it? You know, they went back to Jerusalem to find him. The restoration of our joy. It's good news, the announcement and the truth that it's wrapped up and capsulized in a person. But where do I find the joy if I've lost my joy? Where do I find him if I've lost his presence? I thought of a couple things, you know, supposing him to be in the company. But where can we find him? Can we find him in Toledo? In a holy Toledo? I think not. In Detroit? No way. I'm just kidding. But in the Holy Land, you know, and in truth, can we go to Jerusalem, get closer to his presence? No. What makes the Holy Land holy was Jesus and Jesus' presence and his birth. When the angel announced to Mary that she would become pregnant and have a baby, Gabriel says, the Holy One that you will bear, it's his holiness. How we find our joy, we find him. And where is he? In Rio? You're trying too hard, Mike. No, it's more like real. We find him in a real experience with him. This is scriptural, and it's a reality. And, you know, you lose your joy, you lose, you know, and that's why the Word, if we don't come to church, open the Word, get in the Word, listen to messages to, you know, for mental exercise. It's not an academic practice. We're to feed on his word spiritually. We're to find him, hear him. You know, the Bible says that Luke, when the purpose he set, wrote this was to set in order these things that we would know for certain of their reality. We get real with him is how we get our joy back with him. He got real with us. It's interesting. Peter, turn to Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to look at a verse. Look at verse 7. Chapter 1, verse 7. Restoration of our joy. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Notice he says, the genuineness of your faith. It's in a real time with him. Getting real with him. He got real with us. He got real with us when he went to the cross. Notice when Peter recounts the genuineness, the reality, or the realness of their faith, he says, you know, the experience you have of joy inexpressible, the return of joy, the restoration of joy, the fullness of joy. As a matter of fact, that's what John writes. He said that these things were written that your joy may be full. In his presence is the fullness of joy, the Bible says, but we can lose his presence. So how do we, find him, find his presence? We get real with him. These things were written that you may know the truth and be certain of the things, the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To get real with him, to be restored to him, his joy. I like what Isaiah writes. He says, so the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and receive joy. The return to him, the restoration of joy, everlasting joy. In Isaiah, he also writes that. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem, laid bare his holy arm, showed us the truth of Jesus Christ. But break forth in joy. You know, this return, Isaiah prophesying about, you know, the spiritual Zion. Go to Zion, that spiritual place in truth. He's not talking about Jerusalem. He's talking about the restoration of Israel. Go to him. Break forth in joy. It's interesting too, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, that joy for the Christian and for our life is not only a promise, it's an imperative. He, you know, to find joy is to, take part in rejoicing. It's a rejoicer who finds joy. You know, the joy giver, the joy liver, the joy finder is the joy giver. It's reciprocal. To rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, the Bible says that gives us many reasons why we should rejoice and have joy in him. The Bible says that at the resurrection, they had great joy. The reality of his resurrection. To return to him. Rejoice in the Lord always. When one sinner repents, Jesus said, you know, the angels rejoice. What brings rejoicing? What reasons shall we rejoice? Remember when he sent out the 72 by two, and they came back and they were stoked, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. We got such authority and power. And Jesus told them, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We can rejoice in our salvation. Rejoice in his resurrection. Rejoice in the truth that he came to earth. We can rejoice in so many things. The truth of our salvation. You know, Sunday we read in the Psalms, you know, let us continually say, God be magnified. I felt like one of the musketeers, man, on Monday night. Let God be magnified. In truth, there's many reasons why we can rejoice. To return to him. To be restored to him. David in Psalm 51, he says, you know, oh, that the joy of my salvation, return to me the joy of my salvation over forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord. My bones are aching. I'm rotting away. I've been kept silent. Oh, the fact that he forgives us. Oh, happy is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. The reality of our forgiveness, we can rejoice in. The joy giving and the joy living. And the joy liver, it's a life of appreciation. and participation. You know, he offers joy. We can have it. We can claim it. We can live in it. We can reciprocate it. We can rejoice in him. We can return to him, what he's given us. And in that is life, the truth of his experience. I need him. I need his joy. I seen somebody yesterday that, Don West, and he's such an encourager, and he's always, you know, fighting. And he's always surrounded, like he said that the Lord calls him a rose in the desert. You know, everybody's a negative around him, and yet he remains and, you know, sustains this positive attitude. He's power, he says, and he's always encouraging. Believe him is his encouragement. Trust him. Rejoice in him. Thank him. The restoration of joy comes in the truth of just praising the Lord. As the angels, you know, broke forth in praise, glory to God in the highest, the reality of what he's done in our life, for us to give him thanks for it. We ponder what he's done. He's forgiven our sins. He's written our name in his book of life. To thank him, to praise him, to worship him, to honor him. So often we get our mind, you know, in some kind of false assumption. He's among us in the company. He's among the relatives in different things we can find him. Some of us try to find him in false fire, in a false stimulus. In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, you know, pleasures forevermore. How he's found, you know, he's with us. And by praising him and acknowledging him and accepting him, honestly, by rejoicing in his life, our joy is restored. Let's stand. It's all found in him. The joy restoration, finding joy, living in joy. Not just the Christmas story, but the Jesus story, his story. All in Christ. You'll find this sign, a babe lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. Your joy's in him, in the person of Jesus Christ. Jason was talking about, you know, Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord, or Jesus Christ, in the book of Genesis. And how Jacob, you know, his name, surplanter or deceiver, continuing on in his own power, continuing to live life, even though he had experiences with God, his own way, according to his own strength. And yet, God wrestling with him, to break him, to bring him to the realization that he's to submit and surrender to God. And the Bible says that the angel of the Lord wrestled with him and touched his hip, and it was out of place. And then he says that, you know, your name was Jacob, deceiver, supplanter, but now you're Israel, governed by God. You know, a prince, having God, your prince, in your life. And the truth of the new life in him. And restoring to him. It's interesting, Jason said, you know, one of the first things he did was had a sacrifice, went to the altar. And the truth of us, you know, living in that self-sacrifice of surrender before him. The life of Christ in us, the new life, isn't a life propelled by ourself. It's a life propelled by his Spirit in his way, and to rejoice in his life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord, and the truth of the glorious account and record of your birth, and the meaning and the purpose as Luke preserved it, recorded it, that we would know for certain the reality. You came to earth as our Savior, as our Lord, the anointed high priest, as our Christ, that we can come before you, and that you've delivered us from our sin and the effects and the result of our sin. You freed us. And the truth of what you've done, we're to rejoice in, Lord. We ask that you stir us up and give us a joyful heart, a responsive heart, to joy in you and to rejoice in you. Rejoice in the Lord forever, to the glory of God our Father. Stir us up, Lord, for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We have the new configuration. On Wednesday night, we're here, and there was just a small group. Instead of being all scattered, we just formed a little circle and kind of, you know, brought us together, unity. And we were talking, and one of the ones who were here said, man, his spirit is really here. and the truth of, it's based upon the truth. Just like our joy is found in the person. You know, when two or more are gathered together in his name, so shall be he be in our midst. But getting a little closer kind of helps us have that unity. You know, we can hear each other sing and the purpose of us, you know, reconfiguring. But may the Lord be with you and cover you with his spirit and his love and his heart. And the joyful response of a rejoicing heart to interact with him. He requires the imperative upon us to respond with our life, to be joyful. And may he fill us with joy in his spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.